Good morning to each one of you. I want to greet each one of you in the name of Jesus, that name that is above every other name. Thank the Lord for the privilege to be here this morning. I was greatly blessed to be here. Thank you, young people, for sharing your heart here this morning of what God has been teaching you this week. Truly was a joy in my heart to sit here this morning and take that in and just meditate and ponder over many things. It's also very humbling to see God at work. And I believe every parent that's here this morning would have the same testimony, that they would feel greatly humbled of what God has done in their family. So praise God. I was thinking, my mind went back several years already as I thought of the Bible school each January. I thought of, it wasn't too long ago. I think there was maybe six people went, maybe four, maybe eight at times. And I think if I understood right, there was about 39 this year. And so that's a blessing. God is good. He is prospering his people and his kingdom. And that should cause us to be on our face before him. It should humble us this morning as we see his hand at work. And that's the title of the message this morning, The Sovereign Hand of God. You know, there is a sovereign God who rules over the world. God wants you to see your life in the context of that reality, that he's ruling over this world. I was thinking of the sovereign hand of God, how he leads us on. He preserves his people. The gates of hell will not prevail. Against the church. The hand of God. Do you see the hand of God in your life? I was thinking of the hand of God. I don't know what God's hand looks like. I'd like to look today at some of the practical side of the physical side of what God's hand looks like. Some of what the scripture teaches us about God's hand. And we know for sure that when God's hand is upon us, great things happen, good things happen. It doesn't always feel good, but it's a good thing. God's sovereign hand. Do you feel God's sovereign hand upon your life here this morning? I'd like to turn our Bibles over to read John chapter 20, starting in verse 24. Maybe before I do that, if we could all rise and I will pray before I begin. Lord, Lord, as we quiet our hearts here before you this morning, I just thank you for each one who shared this morning, each one of the young people who invested in your kingdom this week by allowing themselves to be taught and going to Bible school, and the teachers who invested in your kingdom by going to teach and sharing the Word of God. I know there's a number of young people that didn't share up here this morning, Lord, but I pray that you would bless them as well. I trust they have a testimony of the week of what you've done in their life as well, Lord, and I pray that you would minister to them as well here this morning. I thank you for this time together. I pray that you would further edify the body of Christ here this morning. We know, Lord, that you want to do more work in every heart that's in this room this morning. There's more. There's higher ground. And so help us, Lord, to climb higher, to reach higher, to look up into your face and just ask that you would touch us again today with your love and with your sovereign hand. That hand of God that has been upon his church and his people for many years, since the time began. And so I thank you for each one that's here. Pray your blessing upon our time together. And most of all, that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Touch us, Lord, and bless us with your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. John 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. You know, Thomas was feeling like he was left out. He missed out. He didn't see Jesus earlier. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. That was the sovereign hand of God. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Then Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed. So that's us here this morning. We haven't seen Jesus Christ in person. We haven't seen his nail-scarred hands. But yet we can believe on his name this morning. We can believe in the work that he is doing in our hearts, even at this moment. As I think of God's sovereign hand, I just want to encourage you to think of God's sovereign hand. What all had to come forth for you to be here this morning? In order for you to be here this morning, many things. God had to touch many things. There's many areas of your life that God had to touch. From the time you were born, from the time you were an infant, until this very moment, His sovereign hand was upon you. And we trust that as we go forward from here, that we would embrace and want that sovereign hand to guide and lead us. Thomas wanted to see the scars on Jesus' hands before he would believe. And Jesus said, blessed are you if you believe and see not. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, told the children of Israel. God said, when I see the bloodshed of my only begotten Son, I will be satisfied. You know, when he saw the hands of his Son, those were hands that were hung on the cross. Part of the sacrifice, the shed blood, and the hands that hung him there and held him there. The tearing of his hands, the tearing of his veins and vessels and bones. When they picked him up and hung him between heaven and earth and dropped the pole into the ground, very likely those nails tore the skin. It was a hard jolt. It was big enough that Thomas could feel them, the hands of Jesus. Thomas could stick his hand, take his hand and feel. He could feel that scarred hand. And this was after Jesus has resurrected. And he put it in his side. As I consider the cross this morning, I would like for us to consider 2 Corinthians 5:21. As I see the cross this morning, I see sin. The most sinful place in the history of the world was Calvary's Mountain, where they hung Jesus on a cross between heaven and earth by his hands. That was a divine and sovereign hand of God for the sacrifice of the sins of our sins this morning and the sins of humanity. Jesus became sin for us, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There was a divine and sovereign work that happened that day on Calvary's Mountain. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous this morning. He became guilty of every single sin, past, present, and future, for us as humanity. His suffering was very great. It was not just a physical suffering. Yes, that was a part of it. But there was a spiritual side of that. That we can only imagine. It was much worse than you and I can imagine this morning, I believe. Then he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He cried out to his Father in heaven. He who knew no sin, he who never sinned, became sin for us. He is Lord over all things. He's sovereign. There are no limits to God. He rules everything. He is in full control of your life here this morning. But there is one clause in that. And that is, it's only he can work as you open your hands and say, Lord, here I am. But if you come like this, God could do anything. But he respects, and he told us in his word that he will honor our choices. He wants to give us a home in heaven, but he will also honor our wishes. So today I want to look at the human hand in Scripture. How often the hands is mentioned in the Scripture and how it was used. This week Leonard Martin talked about in one of his messages, I think it was on Tuesday, he told a story about a man that was an atheist. And he started studying the human hand. And it was such a marvel to him as he studied the human hand that he became a Christian. He got converted over studying. You know, we take our hands for granted. Just look at them. Look at your hands this morning. Look at both sides of them. Your hands are a very, very useful in life. But this man started studying, I think he was a scientist, he started studying how the hands can move day after day after year, and repetitive moving, and they work well. No pain in the joints, at least not in the younger ages. And it's a marvel, the marvel of the human hand. Friday morning, there's a salesman, a lumber salesman, from A&M Lumber came into my office, and he stood at the door, and I had met him, I think, twice before. He's taken over another salesman's territory, so we're not well known with each other yet, but anyway, he come to the door there, and he was standing there, and he began to visit a bit, and he began... We hardly said, I think Leon was there too, and just said hello, and he began to weep. And he was just started telling us that how God spared him from so much. He said when he was a young man, he was in his youth out in Wisconsin, I think it was, somewhere in the western states. And he said they lived on 1,300 acres, and he said they didn't see people but maybe once a month. And then he became, I think they were part of the Beachy Church, he said he became bitter and he became rebellious. And he set off to like the prodigal son, to see what's out there. And he began to weep as he looked at his life and he's seen the people, the girlfriends that he had and where they're at today and the things that have unfolded. And he just began to weep to us about the sovereign hand of God. How God was, even though he was very wicked, God guided him. He preserved him and kept him. And today he's part of a church, and he was just sharing with us many things that, you know, in their church, some go to the public school and they're reaping some of the effects of that, where children come home from school and say, you know, God is not sovereign. The Bible is maybe only half true. And many things like that, that he was just weeping as he was telling us that. But he saw the sovereign hand of God preserving him. And many, even to that very moment, were going astray in his, were close friends at one point in his life. So I was thinking about the sovereign hand of God. And then after I visited with him a while, I noticed that he had his good hand was out here, and he had his other hand underneath his book that he was brought in to write on. And I started observing, and I saw that he had most of his fingers were missing. Most of his fingers were missing on that hand. And you know, we want to look at that story a little later, but there was a man that had a withered hand. And you know, the tendency is when we have a withered hand, we keep it in our pocket, or we keep it under something, or, you know, we bring our best hand out front. That infirmity of the withered hand, it was kind of hidden. And I even asked him about it, and he said, yeah, he was in a bad car wreck. We didn't have much more time to talk on Friday, but he was in a bad car wreck as a young man, lost most of his fingers. But he had a good heart. He had a heart, a good and honest heart that was bearing witness of Jesus Christ. And that's the most important thing. You know, as we think of the Gospels of our Lord Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you look through, there's how much did Jesus Christ do with his hands? He healed the sick. He did many things with his hands. So as we think of the of that this morning, you know, there's times then we think of, oh, that was, you know, an accident or whatever or luck. But I believe in God's sovereign hand, there is no luck and there's no chance and there's no accidents because God is sovereign and he's over all. So we want to look a little bit at what God says about his hand, his God's own hand, in Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, verse 15 and 16 says, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yeah, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. God is saying that he inscribed on the palms of his hand. I don't know, you know, this is just for the sake of an illustration, but some of you know what a hand looks like. There's little creases and things in a hand that are, and there's the, of course, the fingerprint that the world still uses today. And the unique thing is each hand that's here this morning, if you were to look at him under a microscope, you would see the fingertip is different. I think we're up to just over 8 billion people in this world, and every finger is unique. Every fingerprint is unique. But God is saying here, I want to read it in the New Living. Verse 15 says, never can a mother forget her nursing child. And yet some do. Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you, God says. See, I have written or inscribed your name on the palms of my hand, says God. Always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's walls and ruins. He has a heart for the ruins of Jerusalem, for his people dwell. He had a heart for what happened there. Over the years, the wars, the destruction. And yet he says, I have inscribed, what is your name this morning? Maybe you could say your name to yourself. What is your name? God has inscribed your name upon the palms of his hands. Whether you're converted or not. Just to be clear, God wants you to be born again. But he knows who he made you, whether you're converted or not. Maybe a better way to phrase that. And he made you to glorify his name. I remember a few years ago when my mother was on her deathbed. It was nearing the very end, and my sister had this thought. She grabbed my mom's hand and she held it beside her hand and she took a picture of it. She just says, I just want to remember my mom's hand. All the meals she prepared, all the weeds she pulled, all the diapers she changed, the dishes she washed, the laundry she washed and folded. She cleaned up the messes that children made, us children, and the list could go on. The love she showed to us as her children. Can a mother forget her children? God wants to use your hand. You know, the hands are very practical. You know, there's times when you take your hand and cover your mouth because you're going to yawn. It's something that we eat with. It's we comb our hair. Helps with our work. Something children play with their hands. The word hand is used, I think, around 1,400 times in Scripture. The human hand is a miracle. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12 talks about working with our hands that we could have to give to those who are in need. John 3:35, it says, "The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him." We think of those soldiers who came to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The first thing they did is bind his hands. And yet they could not bind his hands. Yes, they did, but he could have called 10,000 angels. Jesus' hands, they made mud. They placed it on the eyes of a blind man that allowed him to see instantly. Those hands took 5 loaves and 2 fishes from a young man and fed 5,000. Those hands had been laid upon a great host of people who found his healing touch and brought instant relief to their sick and suffering bodies. Those hands stopped a funeral procession one day, touched the body of a young boy, and gave his mother great joy and him a new life in Luke 7. Those hands had resurrection power. But so do yours. In Luke 13, a woman was bent over. She was bent over, couldn't stand up for 18 years. Jesus laid hands on her and she was made straight. In the ministry, it says, you know, laying on of hands is how the... It's transferred for the calling of God upon a minister's life. In Acts 8, Peter and John laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So the miracle of the human hand. It's because of God's sovereign hand. Think with me of Adam and Eve in the garden. There was a hand that picked that fruit, that forbidden fruit, and dried up the hands of the human race. Sin came by a hand that picked forbidden fruit. Christ restored that power by stretching forth his hand on the cross. The very cross that he was nailed to was made by human hands. I should say it was formed by human hands. The wood was made by God. You know, no one knows who crafted the cross that Jesus was hung on. We don't know what kind of wood it was. Maybe it was pine, or maybe it was cedar, maybe it was cypress. But God humbled himself and allowed humanity to fulfill the need for a sacrifice, the only begotten Son of God. So I'd like to turn over to Matthew or Mark chapter 3 at this time and look at the man with the withered hand. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. And they entered into the synagogue, and there was a man there with a withered hand. What kind of a hand was it? As I looked it up, I think a withered hand was either it was a deformed hand or a paralyzed hand. Something was wrong, where it couldn't be used. And it was his right hand. It says there in Luke 6:6, says it was his right hand. You know, when you don't realize what your hands can do and how useful they are until you have a broken arm or something. I've never had a broken bone thus far, praise the Lord. But I understand that when you can't use your hand, you notice it much more. But he entered into the synagogue, and there was a man there with a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. Stand up. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? But they held their peace. They were an envious and a very, not sure what the right word is to use, but that the group of people there that were trying to falsely accuse him and were trying to trip him up, they were a very, I would say it's safe to say they were a wicked bunch. And when he had looked around about on them with anger. Now this was a righteous indignation that Jesus had here. He looked around about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. So it seems like Jesus was angry because of the hardness of their heart. The very Son of God, the author of life, was standing before them, and they were fault-finding. They were gainsaying. They were mocking. And he came to this man. He said, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out. And his hand was restored as whole as the other. Think about that man with his hand. He wanted him to show it. That hand that was shameful, and it was a hand that was not being in use. He wanted him to show it forth. So we could make a parallel there of the hands, you know, stretching forth your right hand in this life. You know, your right hand is filled with envy. And so you hide it. Maybe it's filled with jealousy, so you hide it. Or gossip. Or lust. Or pride. Or maybe you eat too much. Maybe you talk too much. Maybe you have vain imaginations. Or maybe you don't feel needed by the body of Christ. Whatever it is, withered, bring it forth that Jesus can heal your hand. Jesus can heal your stretched forth hand. If you stretch it forth, bring it to him and cry out. And he will heal your hand. And there could be many other things in that we could ask ourselves. About my withered hand. God wants to give you victory over your withered life or your hard heart or whatever it is that's tripping you up. In Proverbs 3:26-7, it says, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. So Proverbs is teaching us, when you have an opportunity to bless someone, do it while it's in the power of your hand. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. You know, there's a song that many of us have heard and maybe even sang. It's called Daddy's Hands. Just thinking about hands, there's something special about that. It says that, you know, I think about Daddy's hands weren't always kind, but they were gentle and loved. Your hands may not be calloused, rough, smooth, or even dirty, but God wants you to understand there's something very special about your hands. There's a miracle in your hands because they're made after the image of God. In Deuteronomy 16, verse 15, the end of the verse, it says, "In all the works of thine hands, therefore thou shalt surely rejoice." God has given us two distinctive ways of ministering the gospel to people. The first is with our voice. We can speak the word of God and can change a person's life forever. And secondly, we can touch people's lives with our hands by helping them. And many things. Just think of things that you can do with your hands this morning that God has given you a gift to do. You know, Jesus, at the end of the day in Luke 4:40, it says, when the sun was setting, at the end of the day, basically, when the sun was going down, he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. So, you know, whether it was in the daytime, the morning, Jesus had a heart to heal those that needed it. And he did it with his hands. And yes, we understand it was the power of God. It was the power of Jesus Christ in the Godhead that healed. But yet he used his hands to do that many times. And Moses there in Exodus, you know, God told Moses in Exodus 14, "And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they may go forward." Too many times we talk about what we're going to do, complain about what we have to do, and yet we never do anything at all. We have in our hands God's mighty word with every promise, every instruction, every commandment, the stories of redemption that we can believe in and stand on. You know, God used hands to write the inspired word of God. Yes, it was divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit, I believe. But yet he used a man's hand to write down as it was revealed by the Holy Spirit. So take what's in your hand, his word, his God's promise, the power of the blood, with the Holy Spirit direction, and stretch it out in the direction that you need to move in your life. Let God be God, and he will part the Red Sea in your life. Maybe you have a Red Sea that's looming before you this morning. You feel like you're against the wall. You've came to this vast body of water, and you need to get to the other side. The enemy's coming behind you. He's chasing you. God wants to use your hand to find a way through. You know, as we think of in Exodus there 4, you know, God told Moses, "What is in thine hand?" And he said, "It's a rod." He said, you know, "Cast it down." And there was miracles were performed. But God often referred to a man's hand. After the example and image of his own hand. You know, our hand is the most versatile part of our whole body. We think of, in a few weeks here, there will be a wedding. And, you know, the minister will ask them to join your hands. You know, that's how marriage happens. We climb with our hands. We push with our hands. We throw a ball with our hands. We catch a ball with our hands. We can move, tear clothing with our hands. We can cut wood. We can sew. We can drive a nail. I wonder how many nails were driven this week, if all the brothers in here. We can chisel with our hands, like wood for woodworking. We can draw. Children draw pictures. We can walk on our hands. Maybe not too many in here could do that, but maybe some could. You know, of all the five senses that we have, the eagle can see better. The dog can smell better. The horses can sense and hear better with their ears. But none of the animals have the hands that are capable of such diverse tasks as the human hand. So do we realize the blessing that we have this morning and how God has given us hands to bring Him glory? And you know, there could be a lot said this morning about the evil that could be done with a hand. You can pull the trigger on a gun. You can beat somebody with your hand. Murder happens every day with hands. And the list could go on and on of the evil that can be done with a hand. But God gave you these hands. Look at them. Look at your hands. And know that He gave them to you for His glory. They're supposed to be used for His kingdom. And remember that God has inscribed upon His hand your name. And He will not forget you. You know, we can knock on a door with our hand. And we can get someone's attention. You know, it was really cold this morning outside. And we have a door that locks from the inside. And you go out, you have a key and a code. Well, it was frozen and it wouldn't work. Well, Stephen was upstairs and I was back in the bathroom and my wife stepped outside for a minute, you know, just to do to take some trash out. And she come back to the door and there it was locked. The door was locked and it was below zero and she didn't have her coat on. And she began to knock on the door. And I heard something way in the back of the house. I heard a knocking. I'm like, what is that? So I began to go out and she was standing out in the cold, waiting to come in. So she preserved her, you know, to stay warm, come inside, knocking. So I'd like to look at Revelation chapter 3 this morning in closing. Starting in verse 20. You know, there might be God's hand might be knocking on the door of your heart this morning. Maybe it's for salvation or maybe it's something else. Revelation 3, verse 20. Verse 19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and will dine with him. That sup there means dine, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So I was just thinking of there's many physical aspects that I talked about here this morning of the hand, God's sovereign hand upon your life. And some of it's physical, but some of it is spiritual. Some of it is He is guiding you through divine influences. But sometimes when we feel God's hand upon us, it's heavy or it feels hard. But yet we need to know that it is His love because He inscribed us in the palms of His hand. He cares about us this morning. And He wants to make sure that we get home safely. So how does He do? How does He do that? He chastens those whom He loves. I just thank the Lord for everything we heard today. And trust that God will be further glorified this afternoon. God bless you all.